Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Hello, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
And oh my, look who we have. We have professional golfer, World Golf Hall of Fame member, Davis Love III. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thank you. Glad to join in.
Well, we got to start out with the obvious. Hey, Mr. Captain of the President's Cup in late September. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be captain of the President's Cup team. You know, I got to play on 6 of those, and I've been assistant captain maybe just as many. at least 3 or 4 assistant captains for Fred Couples, for Jay Haas, for Steve Stricker. So I'm excited to be the captain, and in my home state of Charlotte. So it's going to be, I'm really good at picking home games, Ryder Cup. That's one thing. I've always been picking good partners, Fred Couples and Tom Kite, mm-hmm. Beth Daniel were my partners. I'm good at picking home games. So it's going to be huge. The build out is incredible. Charlotte, North Carolina, they're thrilled to have major championship golf and now international championship golf. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's a lot to be excited about if you're a golf fan with the President's Cup coming up. I wonder, with the civil war that's taking place in golf right now with LIV, is that a good thing or a bad thing for the sport of golf?
Well, there's a famous line in golf: when something happens, well, that's good for the game. That's just a saying that we've always said, because we're polite and we play by the rules and tradition and legacy are so important. This is not good for the game. This is bringing not really business or structure questions. It's about money. And we've done a great job, I think, on the PGA Tour of turning it to points and wins and legacy, and not that we're playing for a huge amounts of money. But this is all about money and greed, and it's a fight. So, no, it's not good for the game.
Yeah, you know, Davis, I mean, for me, it's interesting. You know, you had Mickelson concede in some of these texts that kind of hit the wire that, you know, the Saudis are indeed have a horrible record on human rights, they execute homosexuals, etc. Yet he views LIV as a way to reshape how the PGA operates. For me, what on earth does he really mean by that? I mean, what's wrong with the PGA in its current form?
Well, unfortunately, this happened in 1994. You can go back and read the articles. Greg Norman, World Tour, Top 30. We need to. Basically, what they wanted is more money for the top players, and they wanted to leave the PGA Tour and create their own entity just for top players. Well, there's nothing wrong with the game. You're right. The last 20 years, the game has grown. The professional game has grown exponentially. It's incredible the amount of money we're playing for, the amount of tournaments that there are. And for a small group of players to say, well, that's not enough, we want more, we want to go away. And if it was not for billions of dollars behind it, it would have never gotten off the ground. So what you have to ask yourself is, if $25 million tournaments are what the players want, why does somebody have to pay them $100 million to play in this? Mm-hmm. Something is dishonest or wrong if you have to throw that much money at it to make it work. And make no mistake, Greg Norman, the LIV Tour, I don't know what the Saudis understand about it, the money behind it, but they don't want to coexist. They want to take over. You can hear it in their comments, in their tone. They don't want to coexist with the PGA Tour. They want to crush it and have the PGA Tour be a feeder system to their top 48, which is just leaving out hundreds of professional golfers and charities in the lurch to gain their ultimate goal is to dominate professional golf and to own it.
Speaking of the phrase throwing money at, Tiger Woods reportedly turned down at least $700 million to $800 million to play on LIV, and he said no. Your thoughts about that?
Well, and Jack Nicklaus has been public about saying he turned down north of $100 million to be in Greg Norman's role, to be the face of the LIV Tour. So here's where I come out on it. If the membership of the PGA Tour is against it, which is the players, not the tour structure, the employees of the tour, the PGA players are against it, and Jack Nicklaus is against it, and Tiger Woods is against it, guess what side Davis loves going on? I'm gonna stick with Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. And unfortunately, we lost Arnold Palmer last year and a half ago. Right. Arnold Palmer was against this in 1994 and actually called a meeting in his office of the top 30 players in the world and said, this is wrong. So I'm with Arnold and Jack and Tiger. You're exactly right. They play for legacy and history and the trickle down to all the other players that benefit from the top players. We play 156 players, 125 to 156 players a week, not 30, not 48. Last week was interesting because a young man, 20 years old, won a PGA Tour event and earned PGA Tour membership, his lifelong dream. That's interesting. Or Tony Finau winning two in a row. Not the same 48 guys playing an exhibition over and over and over and over. That's going to get boring.
So we know that Phil Mickelson and a bunch of other LIV golf players have filed this antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour. They want to get their suspensions lifted. They allege the PGA Tour suspensions really serve no purpose but to harm them and to restrict LIV's growth. You've suggested that if the courts rule in those players' favor, PGA Tour players could, I guess, push back or take the next step of boycotting tournaments attended by LIV players. Walk me through how you see this taking place.
There's the frustration of a 37-year-old tour veteran, or 37-year tour veteran, 19 years in the boardroom of the PGA Tour, where the players, Jay Monahan's comment, the regulations were written by and for the players. We write the rules of the PGA Tour. Those players broke the rules of the PGA Tour and now want to play 14 exhibition events next year and come back and cherry pick four or five PGA Tour events and some major championships. And they feel like they've earned the right to do that because they are famous golfers. That's not right. You have to play 15 events on the PGA Tour to be a member. It works for Rory McIlroy. He's from Ireland, plays the DP World Tour, comes over to the PGA Tour under our regulations, and has won the FedEx Cup twice. It works. The system works. We're not restricting anybody from playing. You just have to play by our rules. A simple explanation is I have to commit by Friday to play the next week in the tour event. I can't just say I am a Hall of Famer. I'm a life member of the PGA Tour. I've earned the right to just decide on Tuesday that I want to play. No, I have to play by the rules. I can't fail a drug test and still play because I'm better than everybody else. I have to play by the rules. They knew a year ago, 6 months ago, if they went to LIV, they were breaking a rule and they would be banned or suspended. They knew it. They willingly did it. So they have to pay the consequences. So my theory is the nuclear option, yes, if courts say they get to play, we just don't play and then they can't play. That's an extreme. But that's how mad the players are, is we're getting to that point of, we don't want anything to do with these guys. They're hurting our business and our way of life and our traditions on the PGA Tour.
You know, Davis, you do mention the FedEx and we know the FedEx Cup. We know the playoffs are starting this week. We have the St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in Memphis coming up. I mean, talk to me. Who excites you right now? Whose game really? I mean, who are the future torchbearers of the PGA? Who has the most exciting game in your opinion right now?
Here we go. Let's talk golf. Cam Young. Cam Young that finished second at the Open Championship at St. Andrews. I played with him in Detroit 2 weeks ago. That is and young Tom Kim that just won the Wyndham yesterday.
Yep.
That's the future of professional golf. The game will move on from Davis Love and Fred Couples. It's going to move on from Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele eventually. There's a young group of kids, the American golfers, the international golfers right now that are trying to play on the PGA Tour, chase Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods records. are incredible. But right now, as the captain, Will Zalatoris, Cam Young, come on, boys. I want you on the team. They both played at Wake Forest. They're great buddies. There's a young team that I'll put up against anybody that Trevor Immelman's going to have on his team. So there's a lot of excitement. Now, Trevor may have picked up a new guy for the international team with Tom Kim. He putted unbelievably last week. He's been gradually trending up. Now he's a PGA Tour member in the playoffs. So it's exciting on both sides once we get past the, as you said, the Civil War is in the background. We're thinking FedEx Cup and President's Cup right now.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Speaking of talking golf, old man Barr got emotional yesterday. Yep, I said it. Sir Nick Faldo, he gave his last broadcast in the booth for CBS with Jim Nantz, Frank Nabilo, and Ian Baker Finch. And Nick Faldo got emotional, and it made me emotional. Listen to how that went.
Here we are, 16 days late. I'm a single child, and I found at 65 three brothers. Thank you. Thank you.
Here's a man who is a 6-time major champ. He won the PGA Tour event. He was talking about the PGA Tour event in North Carolina for his last broadcast. And I have nothing but accolades for it, Nick Faldo. And it was a moment in golf where we've had such an upheaval where it brought it down to earth and it's like, hey, there's a reason why he is Sir Nick Faldo.
Yeah, that's what's so great about the PGA Tour is we are a collection of golfers that support each other and play against each other hard, but we're also a family. We're a traveling circus. Faldo was part of the upper echelon of professional golf on the course, and then he joined a team, CBS Sports, that is like a family that covers PGA Tour golf, and he was a big part of that. He sat in that tower for a long time and was the voice for players like me. And it's sad to see him go. Now, I respect what he's doing because he loves to fly fish. He likes to play a little bit of golf when he's not fishing. So I'm envious. It was a sad day for CBS, a sad day for the tour because he's been a great voice. But he's off. He's off to smooth, calm waters and fishing, and I respect him for that. We're going to miss him. I mean, like his comments or not, he was a great voice with Jim Nantz, and I wish him well.
Yeah, my wife came in as I'm watching it, and she says, "Are you crying?" I'm not crying. It's just something in my eye. Good for
Barr's
Nick Faldo.
He's a big softy. I want to go back for a moment to the business of sports and the business of golf, because we know that NBC, CBS, and ESPN are collectively in the first year of a 9-year, $6 billion-plus agreement to show the PGA Tour in the U.S., while you can't see live golf on American television. Big money, live sports rights, it's changed the landscape of sports everywhere. It's changed labor relations. It's changed the way the players think about the game. What's your take on live sports rights and how it's just grown exponentially over the past couple of years as the media landscape becomes more fragmented? The PGA Tour's TV rights is set in stone until 2030, but it's definitely changing the way that players think about the sport.
Yes, that's what I was saying. The tour's in a great place. these purse increases that you're hearing about, these new events, Comcast Business Top 10 just finished yesterday, and Scottie Scheffler won another $4 million in a bonus program for being number one in Comcast. There's a lot of money, and that's been coming in the pipeline. I was part of the board when we signed all those deals. The money is there. Here's an example. If you have Davis Love's career as a rookie right now, I made $58 million in comprehensive earnings, prize money, benefits, retirement plan. If you have my career going forward as a rookie, Tom Kim, you make $615 million on the PGA Tour. Mm. Our money, our business has grown exponentially. The players understand that. And that's what what we say is we're really not playing for money. We're playing for prize, trophies, accolades, Hall of Fame. If you play for that, there's plenty of money out there. Our sport's in a great place. And that's why the argument that you want to play less goes somewhere else. That doesn't work. You're just taking guaranteed money rather than the way we play for it. You have to earn it every year. Patrick Cantlay made $22 million last year on the course. He started at zero this year like everybody else. And that's what's interesting about the way we play is you missed the cut. I missed the cut last week. I got paid zero by the PGA Tour. So I got to start over again and go back and enter another tournament and try to win some money. And that's what's interesting. But our sports could not be in a better place. Our relationship with the major championships, everything's going great in golf except for a corporate hostile takeover behind the scenes.
Yeah, Davis, you know, you mentioned Jim Nantz, and, you know, that takes me back. I mean, it takes me back to the PGA Championship at Wingfoot in 1997. You know where I'm going here. The rainbow, the winning putt, you know, how Nantz connected that with your late father. You know, you've also won the father-son challenge with your son, Drew. I mean, you've had so many different moments. You've captured, you know, a winning Ryder Cup team. I mean, going back, what a career. I mean, what stands out to you? I mean, what's your favorite moment in golf?
Well, Wingfoot was special because of a friendship. I'm in the CBS family. I was briefly on TV with him, and it didn't work out. But CBS family has been great to me my whole career. Some of my best friends work for CBS Sports. So for Jim Nantz, almost 10 years after my dad's passing, to be able to tell that story of a club pro son that wins the PGA Championship, and that's the legacy and the history of Cam Young is a son of a PGA of America member. Justin Thomas is son of a PGA. We weren't born with a golden spoon in our mouth and were immediately put on the PGA Tour. We dug it out of the dirt, like Tiger Woods says. And my greatest moments really now are being on these teams. Watching that team at Hazeltine in 2016 celebrate a Ryder Cup win after three losses, being a part of Steve Stricker's two wins on the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup, and watching these teams reach a lifelong goal of being on a winning team representing their country, those are the moments I love. My dad gave back to the game his whole life. I'm just trying to give back to the game. Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy behind the scenes right now are building for the future of the PGA Tour. And I don't like being the voice of the PGA Tour getting named in lawsuits right now, but I'm willing to die on this hill. I'm putting my reputation out there to support the PGA Tour. So moments that that I get to be thankful and show my appreciation for the PGA Tour and captain these teams, I'm going to be a proud North Carolinian PGA Tour member representing this team in Charlotte and giving them a chance to go out and play for the President's Cup. So I've been really blessed in my career to have a lot of great moments thanks to the platform of the PGA Tour.
All right, kids, I'm going to give you all a lesson about taking care of your body, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I was born April 15th, 1964.
Uh-oh.
Davis Love III was born only 2 days before me. He's still playing on the PGA Tour. I tried to move stuff out of my house a few days ago and needed gallons of water because I was ready to pass out.
I mean, Michael, DL3 has also designed quite a few golf courses.
That's just where I was going to go to. It's like you are designing courses with your brother Mark, and you turned it into a big business. This is why you keep yourself in shape, folks. First of all, what's the secret? And second of all, how do you like designing golf courses?
Well, the secret is I've been very blessed not only with a body that can recover from stuff, but also with great doctors that keep putting me back together. Tiger and I argue. Tiger and I argue about who has the most parts in their body. I have two hips and a fused neck and all kinds of stuff fixed. But I have been blessed that my body's held up. There's a lot of players that don't hold up that long. But I love golf course design. It's unbelievable to create something from nothing, go out in the woods and then come out with a course that all kinds of people can enjoy playing. But the biggest thing for me is, like a little kid, I get to play with the big, heavy equipment. I just get a bulldozers and excavators, like my granddaughters call them. I like learning, and Pete Dye gave me a great piece of advice. He said, you're not a golf course architect unless you get on the equipment and learn how to build them. He was telling me that I needed to learn how to move the dirt around so I could translate my vision to the people that actually do it. But I love going out there and building them. I love playing with the equipment. I have a bulldozer coach that helps me with my bulldozer skills. So one day when I ride off into the sunset from playing golf, you can come find me at some big pile of dirt building a golf
in Cabo San Lucas at the Dunes course, right? I mean,
that's my first. That was the first place I learned to ride a bulldozer was in Cabo on the sand dunes. The reason they let me do it there is because there was nothing to hit. wide open sand dunes. You take a D8 bulldozer, you better not run it in.
Well, staying on this idea of designing golf courses, there is a narrative, rightly or wrongly, that golf course land is a waste of space. It's bad for the environment. There's a negative impact to the earth and the environment, the pesticide use. It sucks up a lot of water. What do you have to think about now? How do you go about planning a golf course while keeping it environmentally sustainable? Can you talk us through some of the solutions that you have come up with?
Yeah, that's a great question, because half of our business, my architect side of it, my staff is permitting, is staying away from, you know, I'm a hunter and a fisherman. So first things first. Let's don't make the eagle mad, and let's don't mess with the wood storks, and let's make sure the fishing's good when we get done. So, yes, I literally watch us build a lake, and before the golf course is done, the birds are in the lake. We have to be aware of that. There are a lot of rules and regulations. Just like home building, just like building a factory, we put up silt fences. We have outflows. We try to keep the simple explanation is we try to keep the water contained so it doesn't go anywhere else with the chemicals. Chemicals now are restricted as well, just like in farming. You can't just spray. You have to have permits to spray. So we spend an inordinate amount of time on that. Then what we're trying to do is build golf courses that don't use as much water, that don't have as many acres of grass to maintain. Fuel is expensive. The fertilizers are expensive. We're trying to shrink that. We did a course in Sun Valley, Idaho, where we reduced the acre per hole so they could be sustainable in the future when water is going to dry up. So, yeah, it's a big concern. And then we want to make it fun for people to play. So we want to make it not quite as hard, which also helps us with the environmental side. We're not putting so many hazards out there and things to maintain. Bunkers are expensive to maintain. It takes manpower and energy, and we're trying to restrict that as much as we can.
Davis Love the Third, I'm with you, partner. I've got two hips and three neck fusions with you, buddy. I'm there, man. I'm creaking around here still, man, but you're on the PGA Tour and taking names and kicking butt. Thank you so much, sir. I'm so glad you could join us here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. Good luck to you in the President's Cup, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the time, and go USA. We'll be ready in September.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
And you can catch our podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, wherever you download your podcast. And please do not forget to join our show on Fridays, where you can hear it on Bloomberg Radio.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.